thank you again for joining us for today's Friday Gallery Talk, and welcome to anyone who has just joined us. Today we have Assistant Curator Dr. Miko Yoshitake going to be discussing her new installation of sculptural works. Started here in September of 2011 and has already accomplished so much here. She co-curated the exhibition Dark Matters and was the co-coordinating curator of Ai Weiwei, According to What? In 2012, she organized the exhibition Requiem for the Sun, The Art of Monaha at Bloom and Poe, Los Angeles, based on her doctoral dissertation at UCLA. She has coordinated museum retrospectives on Li Ufan at the Guggenheim Museum in New York and on Takashi Murakami at MoCA, Los Angeles. She has published several catalog essays, including a forthcoming essay in Carl Andre, Sculpture as Place, 1958 through 2010 for DIA Art Foundation. Please help me to welcome Miko Yoshitake.
Thank you, Caroline. Thank you very much for coming today. I was really pleased to be able to work on this installation in the ambulatory of new sculptural work that, in fact, made its way from... Basically, this area is, you know, has been used historically since Joseph Hirshhorn had a lot of the works had been collected by Joseph Hirshhorn prior to the opening of the museum, and you'll see that a lot of these works come from primarily the 60s and 70s period, and I have. My own personal interest in sculpture really comes from, as Caroline mentioned, post-war Japanese art in the late 60s, and an interest in that kind of divide between abstraction and natural forms and figuration. And so there is a general kind of logic to the selections that I have made. And it was in this section that you see here, we begin... This work by Dan Steinhelber is actually not part of the this presentation. This is a work that is in Over Under Next, which is Evelyn Hankin's show that you see in the main galleries. But it provided a kind of anchor to this space with the Solowit drawing that you see on the wall there. And so I was thinking about what kind of sculptures that would really, you know, make this room fresh and provide something that isn't something that we've been mostly associated with, which is early 20th century bronze sculptures that you see in the sculpture garden. And so I was looking at the... I was in the storage space, and I really saw a lot of these op kinetic artworks that you see here. And what's really interesting is that a lot of these have not... never really been shown before in the museum. And so... And a lot of these works are by artists who are not well known, in fact. There are artists from not only the U.S., but also Brazil, Argentina, Japan, Britain, and some of these artists actually were assistants to major artists like Nam Gabo and Richard, and working really much as contemporaries of Richard Serra. And so I'm just going to give you a brief introduction of the kind of two strains of sculpture that I've set up here. One is really, as I mentioned, the kind of rational or objective abstraction, which comes from constructivism, and basically from the early 20th century, coming out of the Bauhaus. And you'll see that there is a strain of op and kinetic art that comes out in this area here from this David Lee Brown sculpture. And it's really about this move between sculpture media that on various levels is about shifts in our visual perception of the world. And also questioning our idea of what objective abstraction really means, and also in an era when there was a very kind of strong move against this kind of academic form of sculpture coming from Rodin, and there's kind of allergy against a kind of figuration. But you'll notice that as we walk through the galleries, there is a return or to a rehumanization of sculpture. And so I want to have you really think about that that liminal, that tension between abstraction and also biomorphism or human or rehumanization. So here we see this kind of shift coming from the Dan Steinhuber's hangars, and you'll see a very formal relationship between the ways in which the lines in this kind of, we feel the space as a kind of sculptural form. It's not just static object, but the ways in which the sculpture really kind of falls and divides. And we feel the kind of gravitational pull from this piece. And so here I wanted to select some works that also provide that kind of a shift in the way that we perceive these formal elements. And so I just want to keep... we're just going to walk through the show. So we have this almost... bird-like, flight-like piece in stainless steel by David Lee Brown, which looks like a wing. And then also here, this is a sculpture by Sergio Camargo, who is a Brazilian artist who was working in the mid-40s and 50s. He was one of the... and this is a marble sculpture. Very much part of this kind of movement in South America, Latin America, of the concrete art movement and the kind of neo-geometric kind of movement. And so the form of this almost stair-like structure actually starts to curve. And if you and this is to be really experienced walking around the piece. So you'll see that the top of these kind of gradations of squares really flay out. And this is sort of in rhythmic tension to the ways in which the drawing of Solowit here also has this effect of unfurling as you walk through the space. And then we have these kinetic sculptures. Here, this is an Argentinian artist named Martha Botto, and she was really a pioneer in experimenting with plexiglass and different kinds of materials that would reflect and refract light. And so you have this exterior phenomena, natural phenomena that's interacting with the material itself. And so you see the, you know, museum lights here really kind of tingling with the vertical discs of these plexiglass. And, you know, almost like... chandeliers or something, but she was really interested in how, you know, these discs would actually also move, and so she was also interested in using motorized kind of mechanisms to be able to have these sculptures move. And very interestingly, I had another piece that was planned for this baffle wall here. Another female artist named Deborah Molpier, who also worked in plexiglass, and there was this hanging kind of sculptural spiral piece, but the piece was damaged, and so I instead found this other Argentinian artist of Italian origin named Gregorio Vardenega. And I recently found out that Martha Botto and Gregorio Vardenega were married. And so it's a really interesting way in which I discovered, I mean, these are artists that I really discovered after coming to the Hirshhorn and really delving into the archives and seeing what kind of work, because they really don't appear that much. It's their, I think, the work in art history in the academy is still being done on a lot of these artists. So Vardenega and Botto they were part of this concrete art and movement in Argentina in the 40s and 50s, and they moved to Paris, and then they really kind of started pursuing this kind of kinetic art. And so I mentioned the kind of motorized mechanism. Here you have this box that has these glass discs in order. There are layers of it that you see going back towards the wall, and it's operated by an electrical motor, and you see this kind of very, very slow movement of the discs and the colors that are also ever so slightly shifting and changing from yellows to purples to to blues, and so there is this almost, you know, metaphor towards the planets and kind of outer space type of imaginations. But really, I think it's more of a meditation on our visual experience, as especially now when we are so overwhelmed by imagery and mass media that it's a nice chance to see, to really think about and contemplate this idea of seeing as a more meditative and slow experience. Then we move on to a series of works that is really has a tradition of the origins of constructivism and constructive art. That term is, I use it loosely because it's really associated with Nam Gabo, who is the artist that you see to my left. This is vertical construction number two. This was done in Nam Gabo's later years. He was a Russian-born artist, sculptor, who really helped to change this notion of sculpture, which was normally associated as a volumetric mass that artists would carve into. But his idea was a reverse. And so there is this kind of, it was called a stereometric type of sculpture. So the core of the sculpture is very transparent. And so it's almost like an inside out. You could really see the way, it's like architecture, like the skeletons and structures of architecture. You could see the ways in which the form itself was built and turning itself out. And the sculpture that you see in front of you is by Charles Wilson, who I also found out while doing the research was Nam Gabo's assistant at Yale when Nam Gabo was teaching in his later life in Connecticut. And Charles Wilson was a sculpture student at Yale. And so you see this kind of Mobius strip form, and this was very much an experiment that he was doing while working on some of the more there's these groups of sculptures that look like masks that he was working on that were by Nam Gabo, and I think this kind of planarity of the volumes really spoke to him. But also, he's very interested in the natural grain of the wood and how that grain can project a kind of humanistic quality to the sculpture. And so you see it really floating on this. This base of two different bases made out of I think it's marble and wood, and it's has that also quality of when you walk around the sculpture changes just the way that this Sergio Camargo also did. And these are really made out of what's called phosphor bronze and kind of fishing wires, so really. Everyday materials that are, you know, made into these very constructive, delicate forms. And I love this. You'll see that there is this rhythm that you see, this kind of, you know, circle or spiral throughout the show. Because this is a permanent collection show and we had a lot of works that were rotating. There was another work that I was thinking in this place, but right now it's being conserved. And so this is a piece that I included by George Rickey. It's George Rickey was a kinetic artist, and there's a piece that you see outside that triangular, very kind of light engineered piece. He was as much an engineer as much as a sculptor, and so one can actually lift the piece from the bottom, and it's very light, and it can just be held, you know, just by a few people, and then also be placed in no time. It's highly well structured, and so the kind of porosity of this sculpture, I thought, would be a nice transition into the works that you'll see in the next space. This is this work by a Japanese artist named Tomonori Toyofuku. He represented the Venice Biennale in 1964, and this work was just in our sculpture storage. This is the first time ever that it's been shown, and I don't think anybody really knew much about this artist. And when I was looking through the files, I noticed that this work was also included in MoMA's very important 1966 Japanese painting and sculpture exhibition. So there are really things that I've found out just through, you know, working on this permanent collection selection. But this is a work on wood. It's carved, and there's it's painted on top, and you could see a slight metallic paint. And I think that maybe there was some metallic leaf also, because you'll see that there are sections here, blocks of this of almost like sheet. Metallic sheets that are placed on top, but the material description really just says painted, and so really this is obviously relief that jets out very far from the wall, and it has this really gritty, visceral quality to the carving, and this rhythmic holes that you see here are something that the artist repeated in many of his sculptures, and this is one of two artists where I've included more than one work in this show. So at the end of the ambulatory, you'll see a sculpture by the same artist, which is a more columnar sculpture called Water. This is called Kylum or Sky. And then these selections in this section here are more in the strain of biomorphism and the St. Ives Abstraction School, coming from, well, Namgaba was actually associated with the British artists Barbara Hepworth and Ben Nicholson, but so I have two Barbara Hepworth works here. She was a British artist, also very much associated with natural forms that really tapped into the human psyche. And so she was guided by the grains of the woods or the stones. This work here is made out of carved wood with these very much the strings that you'd just seen in the Namgaba. So they were very close friends, and so they really kind of spoke to each other. The work here, just by the way, is an artist who was based in California, and she was good friends with Charlie Parker. This is just a kind of side note because I thought it was interesting, but this work really also has that combination of natural forms with the grain of wood and also this very simple disc of stone. And you'll see on the upper left hand at the side two eyes, and so it's called Ocean Creature. And so there's this kind of humanistic approach, biomorphic approach, bringing together these two natural materials. And then I also have a work by Isamu Noguchi, who is also associated with a very modern biomorphic approach. And this piece in particular, it's called Okame. And in Okame, in Japanese, it means a mask. And it's used during seasonal festivals. It's a female mask, but you wouldn't really be able to, see it unless, I think these are the bows of the female that is wrapped around the head. And Okame also is a very endearing term. And so, you know, this is a very kind of, you could see it as a more precious object, but it is also a mask. And so there are associations, more primordial or pre-historic associations with this piece. And then in this kind of last section, I made a pretty bold jump between this Barbara Hepworth stone sculpture, which is called Large and Small Form. One can really associate it as like a mother and child kind of relationship with Louise Bourgeois. her legs. I mean, these are, this Louis Bourgeois is, as you know, also associated with this kind of relationship of a return to surrealism in her sculptures, and these legs are, you know, hanging from the ceiling, very long, and they're made, I think, out of polyurethane. So you get from these kind of stone wood sculptures into a much more tactile, almost clay-like form. And what's interesting with these is that they move ever so slightly. And so there's this very strange-bodied, otherworldly kind of feeling to it. And I thought it was a great, and this was not planned, but Evelyn had included this installation by Anne Hamilton, Palimpsest, and you can actually see this as you walk, you're walking out of the gallery there. So there is a real dialogue with the Over Under Next show, and then, you know, coming out as if, you know, there are pairs of legs that are walking out towards you. This is the other Tomonori Toyofuku work, which is called Water. And there are two versions of this that the museum owns. This one is in wood, but we also have a very almost identical piece that is in bronze. And so the materiality is very much something that I think the artist was really experimenting with. And you see, in addition to the circular kind of carved bat-like you know, forms, that he also really worked on the surface of this grain of almost tree here. And he also signed the work down there, and there is a symbol or motif that he uses in signing his work. So it's almost like a, you know, when you go into a cave and you see these motifs, I think there is something relationship to that. But Toyofuku was also associated with the environmental art movement, which in Japan, which is basically the rise of outdoor sculptures and large-scale sculptures moving out into the landscape. And so I think that there's a relationship to the scale here that could be associated with, you know, this idea or tendency to move beyond just the confines of the interior. And then the last two works here are, this is a work by an American artist, John Van Alstyne, who is a contemporary of Richard Serra. And this is really just two blocks of granite that has been taken out of a quarry, a rock quarry. And so the striations that you see here are the actual marks that are from the kind of forks that are used from the machine that takes the granite out of the original quarry. And I love this piece because there is a balance or a tension between the two granites, and it's really just very raw in that sense. And the artist really uses the natural cuts, doesn't really, I think, manipulate them at all, and just creates a very simple balance here. And then lastly, this is David Slivka, who is a Russian-born artist associated with the American Abstract Expressionist movement. And he was also, I think, very much close friends with Dylan Thomas, the Welsh poet. But this is what looks like clay, but really it's made out of bronze casting. And it's, so it looks like a crushed piece of clay, which, you know, going back to that kind of deception and visual perception, it's interesting. Like, when you look at the material, you don't really think about bronze being capable of having this kind of shape or form. But I thought it was really an interesting shape. So anyway, this is the summary of my selection here. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. How do you photograph? Form?
You can't sculpt this with your fingers, you know?
Right. Well, I know that during this period, David Slivka was working on ink drawings, like really kind of abstract ink drawings, and he never had an intention to make those ink drawings into sculpture. And what happened was he was really experimenting with hot wax processes and bronze casting, and so that there was a kind of transition that happened between the abstract drawings into this. And so I'm not sure of the actual technical aspects of how he did this, but I do know that the kind of conceptual sources were from the ink drawings. We have a huge backlog of sculptures that will be that are being conserved right now, and so and you know the temporary exhibitions take precedent and before the permanent collection. So it's just a matter of you know time. But yes, they will be.
How long will this installation be up?
I think it'll be up through the year, through the next, so the fall. And we're working on the 40th anniversary, which is opening next fall. And so I'm in charge of the ambulatories, both the second and third floor. So I'll have a new presentation. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.